Torah tells us about the mitzvah, which is finally, namely the mitzvah, Perachav Gimel, Masik Tezla, the mitzvah Sviya Sa'omer. It's on page 307 in the pagination here. We started Machem in Machas Shabbos, Miyom Abiyachem, Mesom Ha'atnufa, Chav Gimel, Tezla, page 307. The obligation to count, the Machas Shabbos is a striking expression. The Gemara Menachas points out that it refers to the day after Pesach, very striking way of expressing that. The Tzdukim understood this expression to mean Sunday, day after Shabbos is Sunday. But that's not how Chazal understood it. Chazal saw the Machas Shabbos as referring to Pesach, the second day of Pesach. The Yom HaVyachim is Omer Tzinufa, from the time that the Omer, the Kavan Omer is brought, Sheva Shabbos HaTzinos Tehiyena. We count for 7 weeks, 7 consecutive weeks. Had Machas Shabbos HaShviyas Tisbur HaMishim Yom, 50 days, of course we don't count 50 days, how many do we count? 49. We shall discuss why the Torah rounded it off. The grabbed the Mincha Chadash Shel Hashem, and then the obligation on the Yom Tov Shavuos, and as the Torah goes on to describe, to bring a korban. This mitzvah, Asriyas Omer, a very fundamental question has to be raised. What's the value, what's the point of this sfira? Is it possible to calculate when Shavuos will be chal without counting? Ayom kach v'kach v'omer, ayom kach v'kach v'omer. Why is this a separate mitzvah by itself? You hear the question? My father was Jean Lebal had this question. What's the chiddush? So the chinuch writes, the Sefer HaChinuch, he writes the following. He writes that the sphere of, the whole idea of counting towards Shavuos is an expectation of Kabbalah Satorah. We're looking forward to Kabbalah Satorah with great expectation, with a very strong desire, and when a person has a very strong, and I would say even ardent, passionate kind of desire to reach a certain goal, for example, before the chasen, before a person gets married, so you are counting the days literally towards the marriage. He writes, Ki haminyan, the count, Mare la'adam, shows a person, Ki kol yisho b'chol chetzo la'giyel azman ahu. His sole interest is to come to that point in time. And therefore, says the Chinuch, in order to express our gaguim, our yearning for Kabbalah Satorah, for Matan Torah, we count on a daily basis towards Shavuos, 49 days. Laharos ben Avshenu, to show hachevetz agodol, a great desire, el hayom hanichbad, to this wondrous day.
So wouldn't make sense to count that.
1 second. My father is the same kasha. Wow. Always mechamit to my father. But that's when I finished the chinuch. To show the desire, el hayom hanichbad hanichsav libeinu yom matan Torah. By the way, the Ran, at the end of Psochim, also the Ran actually quotes a pasuk, which you are undoubtedly familiar with. If you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent by Hashem on a mission, and the mission was to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, so Hashem told him, also using a different formulation, Botziyacha Esomni Mitzrayim, when you take the people out of Egypt, Ta'abdun, you will worship Esel Elkim al Arazeh. Where is that referring to? Where are we going to worship Hashem? On this mountain? What mountain are we referring to?
Sinai.
And the Ran says, Ta'abdun, Ta'abdun Nun. What does it mean, Ta'abdun Nun? After 50 days, we'll worship Hashem. That's how the Ran, at the end of Psochim, he refers to this pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Shmos. But then the question that Matthew asked, which is a very valid question, my father was bothered by that. So that's the case. Why do we count? The days are already passed. Yom Echad La'Omer, Shnei Yom La'Omer. Generally speaking, when a person is looking forward to, shall we say, an event that's going to happen in his life, as I mentioned before, a chassid and the like, so what do? You count the days that are left. Not the days, I'm sorry, you count the days that are left. Yes, that's right. As opposed to what? The days are already passed. So how should we count it? We should count like this. Matzah Yom Perishin of Pesach. Old Shiva Shavuos the Matan Torah. That's the question. Another 7 weeks the Matan Torah. And the day, the night afterwards, another 48 days to Matan Torah. So why don't we count Sfiras Omer in such a way? My father was bothered by that kasha too. So I heard a number of answers to this question. One answer that one could suggest, the reason why we count towards the Omer, because that's how our forebears, even though there are only three bears, no one gets my jokes.
I understood.
Oh, Hashem. Right. Thank God you're around. Because that's how our forebears counted when they left Mitzrayim. They didn't know what time and when Matan Torah was going to take place. They knew, as the Pasuk says, you want to see it, I can show it to you in Shemos, let me find it. Shemos Paragimel, look at Paragimel for 1 second, it's every Shemos. That's the Pasuk, I just quoted to you from the Ran. Paragimel, Pasuk, new days. If you have Shemos, it's page 130 in the Tech Edition. You have that? On page 131, sorry. Vayom kiyeh imachim shepeber shmos, pasha shmos. Hashem said to Moshe, I'll be with you. V'zelecha oski anokhi shlachticha. This is the sign that I sent. I'm sending you as the head of a mission. Bo'tziyachach z'omni mitzrayim ta'abdun. You see the word ta'abdun? Ta'abdu nun, says the Ram. At the end of 50 days, you worship Hashem. Esel elokim al harazeh. So therefore, they did not know exactly when Matan Torah was going to take place. So obviously, if that's the case, what could they do? They could only count. They weren't able to count the days that remained till Matan Torah. But rather, they can only count. Correct. They can only count the days that passed. 1 day passed, we haven't yet received the Torah. 2 days passed, we haven't yet received the Torah. 3 days passed, we haven't yet received the Torah. That's one answer, simple answer to this question. Of course, the question is, why did Hashem wait 7 weeks for Kal Yisrael to receive the Torah? Why was there a need to count 49 days? There's a very fascinating medrash that the medrash says, Ruim Hoy Yisrael Shah Shiatsam Mitzrayim, Kal Yisrael were worthy of receiving the Torah immediately. Elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Adayim Lo Bo Zivam Shel Banai, they are not yet healed from the Shibud, from the bondage, from the oppression in Egypt. They require healing. They can't receive the Torah right away. And as a result of that, Hashem said, let them have some sort of a convalescent period, if you will, an interregnum, where they'll be able to be healed, and then, yachakach, and they'll see the Masa Torah. It's a medrash. A medrash to help us rabbi. Just 1 second. What do Chazal mean? So I always understood this Chazal. We're not only talking about physically, shall we say, recovering from the oppression and bondage and slavery in Egypt, but primarily, what is the main issue? Spiritual. What was that?
Netama.
Yes, that is the main issue. We were meshubad in Mitzrayim to people who were of the Avodah Zarah. Chazal said we were, as you mentioned, mired in the 49th level of Tumah in Egypt. And therefore, in order to receive the Torah, it's not sufficient that my body should be physically healthy, but it's also necessary that my soul, my nefesh, should be in a position to be mekabel the Torah. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu was dochei Matan Torah till we were roi lekabel satorah. One of the questions, which is a famous question that is asked actually by Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of Ari HaKadosh. Rav Chaim Vital asks, why is there in the Torah a prohibition against someone whose character leaves a lot to be desired? There are people who have, shall we say, impeccable character, beautiful character, like everyone sitting in this room. And then there are those outside this room, one or two, whose character leaves a lot to be desired. So Rav Chaim Vital asked, why does the Torah articulate an interdiction against Midos Ros, people who have poor Midos? Now it's true, the Torah does have some reference to these, to Midos Ros. If you look, for example, by Yikra, these are parshas that you are all familiar with. We read them not long ago. Look at Vayikra Yutes. We'll start with that. In the Pasha Bidoshim, if I'm not mistaken, we just read it with Shabbos. So Vayikra Yutes, by the way, what did they do at the end? There was a minion, a landing for both?
Yeah, we had a
real briskets. Even though Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Sibur, Mishnah Megillah, Ramban, Taisus in Seita, Taisus in Brachas, even so, you were medakdeh to read as a Chovas Yochid. That's very beautiful. Very beautiful, very commendable. I was once a Chutzaretz, and I was in a similar situation. I had to make up a Pasha, and I asked my nephew in Muncie, Yer HaKadosh, my bench says his name, Muncie Yer HaKadosh, prepare your name. So I asked my nephew in Muncie, can he help me? He said, Uncle, no way. I said, what do I have to do in order to get 10 people, 8 people? Obviously, I couldn't. What do I do in order to get another 8 people to join, to have a minion,
can
combine with you? What was that? He told me, a kiddush. So that kiddush, I said, what do I have to have in that kiddush? He told me, herring, what else?
Schnapps,
kugel, schnapps, and drinks. It cost $100. So for $100?
You got all that for $100?
I had your father as a caterer. So I said, okay, I'll do it. I did it right before Mincha, about a half hour or so before Mincha. And then they told me, before I started learning, I was going to like the parasha, obviously. They told me, please make it quick. So I said, why should I make it quick? I just spent $100 to give you a nice kiddush. Yeah, but we want to get to it as quickly as we can. We have no interest in this reading. It doesn't say anything to us. The main thing is the kiddush. I had a Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Ruchim Gvelik Zatzal. He's the Talmud of the Brisk Gaon. He said he came to America and came from Maskana that people come to shul for two reasons. For Kaddish and Kiddish. Okay.
Yeah,
Kaddish. Yeshka Zemashu. So there are some midos that I mentioned, Chumash. Look at Perek Yitesh, Pasuk Yitzayim. We just read it. There the Torah says something which is very critical that we're discussing now with Zochim. Lo sisna esachicha b'vavecha. And right after that, what does it say? Correct. And Pasuk Yitesh, v'ahavta l'kacha kamocha. But most of the Bidos are not mentioned in Chumash. You will not disagree with me. So why is that so? Rav Chaim Vital asks this question. It's a Talmud Bubba from Nevi HaKadosh. And he answered because Midos constitute a preamble to everything. Excellent. Baruch Shekibata. He's my Rebbe. Just recently became my Rebbe. I needed to someone desperately. And he arrived just in time. He writes that Midos are Hachanos, Ikarios, and Talyag Mitzvos. If a person wants to acquire the Torah, first the person has to be a Baal Midos Tovos. And therefore there's no need for the Torah to impose an interdiction. Someone who's not a Baal Midos, first one has to be Misakim, one's Nefesh, and then one is Roi, one is worthy of Kabbal Satara. So that's what Klal Yisrael apparently did during this 7-week period. It was a period of Achama, a preparation for Kabbalah Satara. Ad Kedekach, you turn back now to Parsha Zemar, which is this week's Parsha. You'll see also something very fascinating that Chazal speak a lot about. If you know, there was a Korban that was brought on Shavuos, and there was also a Korban that was brought on Pesach. What Korban is brought actually on Pesach? Excellent. The Omer. The Omer came from what, shall we say, what kind of grain?
Barley.
Barley. Sorim. Excellent. However, on Shavuos, as you see over here, excellent. Wow. That's what the Rishonim point out. On Shavuos, they brought the Shalach, and look at this pasuk, we just actually referred to it. Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Yitzayim, page 307. V'moshe Oseichem Taviu Lechem Tznufa Shnayim Shnei Esronim V'shtei Alechem. And the Rishonim say the following, as you pointed out. I read the Lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan says explicitly, Siman Tav Beit Tes, he writes, Lahoros means Shtei Alechem came from Chitim. What difference between Sorim and Chitim? Said the Aruch HaShulchan, Lahoros, the bilti haTorah, if not for the Torah, anachtu ki behemos nidbe, shemachol and sorim. Well, compared to what? To animals? That animals, what is their feed? What do they feed them? Barley. Ushekiblus haTorah, We become what? Bnei Adam. We become human beings. And therefore, karbanon, the carbon that's brought ben achitim, machal adam. So that is the reason why, apparently, the Torah, what does it say over here? Again, look at Pasuk Tesvav, the beginning of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. The Torah says, V'sfartam lachem, mimachas ha-shabbos, miyom ha-biyachem, es omer tznufa. What does it say? From the time that you bring the omer. And this is also in the Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch asks the question, why is the Sfira, why do we count from the time we bring the omer, and not from the first day of Pesach, which is the Zman of Yetzias Mitzrayim? First day of Pesach is Yetzias Mitzrayim. We count from the second day of Pesach, the time to bring the omer. Why is that so? It doesn't say over here, Usfartam lachem, miyom tzeischem eretz Mitzrayim. The answer is because the omer Sa'orim epitomizes the animalistic element within us. And the idea of Sfira is to elevate ourselves way beyond the animal within us, and in effect to become Bnei Adam, people on such a high level, and to emerge from the 49 levels of Shari Tuma that we were in Mitzrayim, till we come to the Madrega and Shuas of being Bnei Adam, or Arvuyim for Kabbalah Satorah. The Ramban in Chumash has an astounding comment. The Ramban says, in this week's Pasha of Emor, he calls the days between Pesach and Shavuos, the Lashon Ramban, he calls them Yemei Chol HaMoed. Isn't that amazing? Yemei Chol HaMoed. The Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach is the Yom Tov before, and Shavuos is the Yom Tov after, and what's in between? Chol HaMoed. The days that we're in right now, that we are ensconced in, he calls them Yemei Chol HaMoed. Astounding statement. Of course, it doesn't have all the dinim of Chol HaMoed, as far as I know. There's a Masechta that's devoted to the dinim of Chol HaMoed. What Masechta is that? Moed Katan. Why is it called Moed Katan? Because Chol HaMoed is what? It's a Moed Katan. It's like a Moed in miniature. It has elements of Ikra Kodesh, but not the full-fledged, full-blown elements of Yom Tov. Therefore, it's called Masechta Moed Katan. Masechta Moed Katan has other aspects to it also. Namely, what else is found in Masechta Moed Katan?
Avelus.
Dinim Avelus. That's a very large segment of Moed Katan. Also, Dinim Ashrius. I found in Shemitah. I found in the beginning of Masechta Moed Katan. But Avelus is the bulk of the Masechta. But it has Dinim Chol HaMoed. A very large segment of Masechta Moed Katan, like a small Moed, a Moed in miniature, is found in that Masechta. It's a very beautiful Masechta. So these are days where we are looking forward to Kabbalah Satorah. However, we all know that this period of time is also a period of time of Avelus. Why? There were 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that died during this period of time. Why is it? Says the Gemara, Yevamos Tassam Apezun Aveiz, Neshevel Nagu Kavo Zebazeh. What an astounding statement. What does that mean literally? Did it translate literally? They didn't treat each other with the proper respect. The Ashkenazic Poskim, by the way, are much more machmir regarding these days, because also what happened during this period of time historically, especially among Ashkenazim, not among Sfaradim, Baruch Hashem, because there were many, many gzerot of the period of the Crusades, of the Tzalbanim, they call them in Hebrew, that took place and that affected Jews who lived in Ashkenaz, especially during this period of time. But the main Avelut relates to the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva who died during this period of time. I assume you're aware that Dafka, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they were great people, but apparently this was their Achilles heel. Shelo nagu kavod ze lazeh. And as I said, in order to be mekabel the Torah, we have to completely and totally transform ourselves. Our character has to be of an impeccable nature. I heard from my Rebbe, I made him my Rebbe, Agoyin Rav Avigdor Levinsohn, Shalita, Shashem Yarach Yachov. I heard from him the following comment on the Gemara Melachos, on Basam Chesun Rebeis. I'll read the Gemara to you. The Gemara there tells a story which is absolutely horrific. Gemara says, one of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, his name was Yehuda ben Chenya. Gemara identifies him. So the Gemara says he had a vikuach, a halachic vikuach, dialogue, disputation with Abitarfa in Halacha. And he was successful. He prevailed over Abitarfa. The Gemara says he was extremely happy. Abitarfa was an older man, was a Zokin Muflog at that time. And here this young Talmud bested an older Talmud Chacham in a halakhic disputation, says the Gemara. He was so happy that you could see the simcha on his face. He was gloating over the fact that he bested his Rebbe. Here's the Gemara comment. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said to him, to this Talmud, Yehuda ben Nechemya, Yehuda, he called him by his first name, obviously, Tzavu panecha she'eshate et asoki. You're so happy that you bested the Gol Ador, Rav Tarfon. Tzmehani in Tarech Yomim. I will be shocked if you'll have longevity, if you'll live an extended period of time. Now, if Yehuda ben Nechemya had, shall we say, had simcha because he bested the Rebbe and had been done quietly, it wouldn't be the end of the world. You're allowed to argue with your Rebbe in Halacha. On the contrary, you should argue with your Rebbe in Halacha in order to elicit the truth. That's what you want to do. And if you are on the side of MS, then there's no reason why you should not be Sameach. But to demonstrate it publicly, to flaunt it, to gloat over the fact that you bested your Rebbe, the Gadol Hador, that already is absolutely unconscionable behavior. Behavior which is unacceptable. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Tzmehani in Tarech Yomim. I'd be surprised, I'll be shocked, if you had one today. So the Gemara continues. Omer Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, also Aperach, pros Pesach Hayah. That period of time was 2 weeks before Pesach. Shalisi the regal, when I went up to make Aliyah the regal, Latzeres HaTshuas, Shalte Echarav, I asked, Yehuda ben Nechemya, Heichanu, where's Yehuda ben Nechemya? Omali, they told me. First we start with the table. Hashem should bless you.
Thank you.
So they said to me, Nifdar v'holach lo. Guess what? He passed away. Rabbi Akiva, wow. He somehow knew he was not going to have Arichas Yom. He was Nifdar, very close to the event that occurred. Apparently, he must have been among the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who died between when and when? Pesach and Shavuos. There is an element in Torah that undoubtedly you are fully aware of, namely that Torah is supposed to completely transform our personality. The Gemara says in Bracha that you're all learning. Halokot varai ka'esh ne'mashem. The Torah is compared to what? The fire. What does fire do?
It spreads.
What does it do? It transforms a person. It cleanses. It scourges. But fire has the koach to completely transform a person. The Ramban Chumash in Varaskana speaks about the Eish HaTorah. There's an organization, Yeshiva, called Eish HaTorah. The Ramban speaks about Eish HaTorah. Just to show you, I'm very fond of, I follow Shalom, asked this question when I was a little kid. There are two parshas in Chumash that Aseres HaDibros is mentioned, namely one,
Yisrael.
The other,
Yisrael.
Why is it repeated? Okay, there are distinctions between the two. Some of them are very famous, such as Zachar Shama, two, and you are correct. Three,
Kedoshim. The Ramban says that in the beginning of
Kedoshim. You're right, Ramban puts Chazal, Aseres HaDibros. But that's not, I'm talking about these two parts, Yisrael and Vatschanan. Good. Happy. You're aware of the Ramban. Beautiful.
Matthias Mitzrayim versus.
Correct. Matthias Mitzrayim versus Briasa Olam. There are a number of distinctions. There are a lot of minute distinctions. But there's another distinction which is not always noticeable. Of course, the Ramban is the one who noticed it. He didn't miss a trick. Ramban. So take a look at Moshe Chan just for a moment or two. Look at the context of Moshe Chan. And you should, by the way, notice that the tone, the atmosphere that the Torah is describing, it's on page 447, Perakei, the beginning, and the middle, right before Aseret HaDibros. Of course, when Hanan is down to say the Dvarim, actually I wrote an essay about this topic a number of years ago, hopefully it will be published in a Sefer eventually. You look at Perakei, you see that? Page 447, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Moshe tells Kol Yisrael, Shema Yisrael Sachum Nisa Mishpatim Asher Anochi Dor Rebi Yaznei Amayom Lumaritim Osam Mishmatim Asosam Hashem Elokein Kavasim Manu Bris Bechorei. And then, starting Pasuk Dalet, Panim Bepanim Dibra Hashem Yimachem Bahar, Hashem spoke to us Mitoch Ha'esh. That's the first time. Next Pasuk Kei Anochi Omeg and Hashem Amenecha. Moshe was the intermediary. You are afraid to hear from Hashem directly. Why? Because of Eish. Fire. I continue. Look right after Aseret HaDibros. In page 448 now, Perakei Pasuk Yates. It's Adorim Eila Dibre Hashem Kol Kah Bar Mitoch Eish. Anon Ravafel. Pasuk Chav. What does it say in the middle of Pasuk Chav? V'yahar Boer Eish. Pasuk Chav Aleph. Middle of the pasuk, yes, kolo shamanu, mitoch ha'esh. Pasuk habeis, we are frightened. Kisochleinu ha'esh, agdol azos. Pasuk chav gimel, guess what appears there? Correct, mitoch ha'esh. Whenever you see a word that repeats itself so many times, obviously the Torah is doing that for a very clear reason, and the presentation of the Aseret HaDibros here in Rosh Hashanah is markedly different from that in Yisrael. Akedei Kach, where it's clear that the Torah was written by a Briska, Tzvei Dinim, and Shem Yisrael is one presentation, and Vashanah is a different presentation. The one in Yisrael, if you will, is more normative, more cognitive, how should I translate these words? An objective presentation of the Dinim. However, Vashanah is not just interested in a person intellectually should be committed to Torah, but how should one be committed? Emotionally. The Torah should transform me. The Torah should literally succeed in turning me into a ball of fire. Not a raging inferno that's out of control, but rather a ball of fire in terms of my Yirah Shamayim. I think the whole context of Sefer Dvarim is Yirah Shamayim. So there are two tzvei dinim here. One is Torah intellectually, that's the parsha in Yisrael, and one is the Eish, the fire, that a person who, in effect, is connected to Torah becomes a ball of fire. In Yirah Shamayim, it is emotional commitment to Hashem Yisbarach, etc., etc. So you need, if you put it in different terms, one has to have both Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, as the Rambam writes in Sodei Torah. The Rambam, by the way, is a famous chapter where he talks about how a person comes to these concepts. The Rambam says when a person examines the world, I told you, I studied the fruit fly for 6 months. And it's not a very complex organism, trust me, it's not. And yet I was amazed, absolutely taken aback by it. And it's up to when I used to dissect the tadpoles and frogs and later on, I started dissecting human beings. No, mammals, if you will. Thank you. I'm just jesting. When I was in the labs, when I was biology and the like, so you won't believe this, but this is what we did. We were silly billies. We were young, and we were not aware of all the consequences of that which we did. So we used to basically put blood under a microscope and examine it. Who was responsible for lancing all the people in the room? Yours truly. So I would just take a piece of metal and lance one after the next. The same piece of metal. Pretty sorry. Oh, yes, correct. Thank God. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. You want to talk about an antiseptic, sterile environment. The ideal. That's what we did. Not we. The world. But I was so as a result of that to see the godless of Hashem's Kach. And that's what the Rambam writes. The person examines the universe, the majesty of it, the grandeur of it. There's a very fascinating machlokes between contemporary poskim. I asked Rav Nemetzel Shlita many years ago, I want to see the Grand Canyon. I saw it in pictures and movies. I want to see the Grand Canyon. Can I leave Eretz Yisrael to see the Grand Canyon? He told me no. I said, why not? What was that?
The crater.
It's not the same thing. This is diminutive relative to the Grand Canyon. At least the pictures I saw. Anyone been there?
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys suddenly can. So I've never saw. Almost started crying. I'm not exaggerating. Machtesh, Mitzpe Ramon. Madhim! So I said, in my silly Billy response, Grand Canyon, your chair, Madhim!
Oh, I
started crying more. He holds it's us, to believe it as well, to see the beauty of Hashem creation. I asked my Rebbe, who's your side of the night, Moreno Rabbeinu, I'm going outside the Gabar Lechisling Tatsal. He told me it's Mutal Lechatchila. Leave Eretz Yisrael to see the Kabbalah Sabbath. Wow, what a machloket. To do the other.
How did you choose?
Sorry?
How did you choose which answer you
go?
This is Rebbe. They're both Rebbe.
Oh.
They're both
Rebbe. Unfortunately, passed away a year ago. And then so Yibadol Chaim Aruki. I did not leave Eretz Yisrael to see the Grand Canyon. I've never been there. And generally speaking, I only leave Eretz Yisrael on behalf of the yeshiva. You're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. For what reasons? Number one? Parnasa. Number two?
Kibbutz
Avein. Number three? Getting married. Number four? Learning Torah. What else? Anything else? Those are the four reasons you can leave Eretz Yisrael. But he felt, but I've never saw to see the Grand Canyon. Eifos HaKatuf. What's the makom? And you can leave Eretz Yisrael to see the Grand Canyon. That's what he told me. So I followed that position. I then asked the Abayim Lechassin Tatsal with my typical silly Billy responses. Did he leave Eretz Yisrael to see the Grand Canyon? He said, no, Bishum Panavayfin. I won't leave Eretz Yisrael to see the Grand Canyon. So I said, but I just asked Rav Shiva. He said, I hold this mutter. I didn't say it's a chiyuv. That's, Rambam says, when you see the beauty of Hashem's creation, you come to Abbas Hashem. But then a second later you realize, I'm in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And suddenly you recoil, and suddenly you are literally frightened. You are in a state of awe. Here you are, shall we say, in an uplifting and very buoyant kind of state, and suddenly you realize the presence of Hashem. And what comes along at that moment? Yira Shamayim. So there's this dialectical tension between Abba and Yira, Tzvei Dina. Obviously, correct? Tzvei Dinim. So clearly, Yirat Shamayim is a very important segment of Lumen HaTorah. I believe the two parshas of Yisro Gostan represent exactly these two ideas. Yisro is the idea of Abbas Hashem and the objective, presentation, normative, Maseres HaDibros, and here in Gostan it's Eish. The Torah is an absolute fire. Chazal tell us the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that Tam Yechachom might like it to fire. Nishichasan, Nishichashuol, Akitzasan, Akitzas Akra, B'chol Dibrayim, Kikaf Le'esh. I can tell you, I said in Rav Soloveitchik's Atzal Shir, there was Esh all around, from every perspective. It was pure Yira, pure, back here. So how does one approach Kabbalah Satorah? The answer is, yes, Yira is important, but it wasn't going to begin with Simcha. That one should have great simcha when one learns Torah. I saw my Rebbe, Rav Dekel Leperos, today. I have not seen him in a long time. And I was with simcha. You know why? He's always with simcha. Always. Perpetually photogenic. And perpetually with such a smile, beatific smile. And I was Baruch Hashem I became very enthusiastic. So Simcha, Limud HaTorah, the Amineser writes in the famous Hakdama to his Sefer, you're probably familiar with it, that there's a mitzvah to be Sameach Limud HaTorah. Torah is something which is sweet, which is beautiful. Every day we make the bracha. He writes this in the Hakdama to Egel Tal. He says, "I know Shabbos. V'harim no Hashem Elokeinu as diri serosa befino." Torah should be sweet to us. We should be nene from Limud HaTorah. He writes, "That's the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah." Liosos v'sameach u'misami u'limudo. When you hear a good kasha, you have anah. When you say a good teretz, more anah, even more pleasure. One of the great aspects of Moreinu Rabbeinu Hagdolei HaTzadik Abba Lichtenstein Tzatzal, he was, I can't begin to describe his commitment to Limud HaTorah, his asmona, was mind-boggling. By the way, the key to success in Limud HaTorah is asmona. That's the key. You have to be an Eloi, you can be a simple person like me, I'm a very simple fella, and you can be Matzliach. If you're a Masmin, what does Masmin mean?
Diligence.
If you apply yourself to Limud HaTorah, you'll discover you'll be very much there. The Gemara says in Nida, Harel Tesheyachkin, you want to become a Talmud Chacham, Yarba Mishiv, you have to sit. And that's the key. But you also have to have Simcha when you learn. And that Simcha is a very integral part of Talmud Torah. And I would go even further to tell you that one of the places that's very, I think, Mesugal, to learn Torah, maybe the most mesugal to learn Torah, is in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why I say that, and again, I'm not telling you any kedushim, because Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says in Barbasa, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkin, the air here, Eretz Yisrael, is kadosh, v'tohor, and there's no doubt that those who learn in Eretz Yisrael, as you all are, Baruch Hashem, in the course of this year, your lives are being transformed. So we have to have certain basic fundamental elements when we approach Torah. Obviously, Abbas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, but even more important, Abba leads to Simcha. Simcha is a toldah of Abba. If you love something, you'll have tremendous Simcha. And that's how one has to approach Limud HaTorah. Asal Avechik, Zatzal, when he prepared the drasha, this is what I heard from his gaboyim, he would lock himself up in a room. And he could literally not appear for 3 days. What did he do for 3 days? He was busy preparing the shiur. He was so immersed in the preparation of the shiur, he did not, became totally unaware of the fact that there's something called eating and drinking. He was unaware. If not for his wife, Zecher Lebracha, and for the Shamoshim who took care of him, he would have gone on for 3 days without eating and drinking. I can't go for 5 minutes. Maybe 10. I'm just joking. That's the Madrega that one should strive for. That one is so immersed, so ensconced in Limud HaTorah, one literally does not notice anything. Someone just gave me Matana, a sefer of Rabbi Yashid in English, a biography of Rabbi Yashid. So I started flipping through it, about 400 pages. I read about 300 already. I read it actually two nights. One night I started at 2 a.m., finished at, I missed the first minyan, came to the second one at 7:15, and then I only read about 175 pages, and I finished next 175 the next night. I was so taken by Rabbi Yashid, by one aspect of him, Hasmada. Wow. He used to wake up every night at 2:30, went to sleep at 10:30, 11, woke up at 2:30, had a cup of coffee, learned the whole night, and continued learning the whole day. What age was he when he did this? He started at a very young age, but the Sefer describes his doing this when he was 90s, 80s, 90s, and over 100. Pelot. What motivated him? The answer is his simcha in learning Torah was boundless. He noticed nothing. It could be noises, literally, cacophony of every sort. He didn't notice anything. He was just so immersed, and so ensconced in his learning, and because the simcha of Kabbalah Satara, the simcha of Limud HaTorah was so great, literally the world was completely, totally not there. That's the kind of madrega we should strive for. It's not easy to acquire, that's for sure. I'm easily distracted. As I said, every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, I'm always in mind of the Habdil. I was recently, not 2 months ago, a bit more than that, I'm in New York City, and I'm waiting for someone. And I'm stuck, basically, means I had to wait for this person. And there's a whole group of people, workers, who are fixing potholes right in front of me. It's in Manhattan. By the way, there are more potholes in Manhattan than there are in the entire Eretz Yisrael. But I assume the reason is because it's the salting and the snow. I imagine it has to be some time for it. The drive on the West Side Highway and the FDR Drive. It's a nace that you don't lose your axle every time you drive. A nace nigle. Bigger than Kriyas Yamsul. My problem. You know what I'm talking about? Why don't they fix those potholes? Anyway, I'll tell you why. But they have the following workers. I'm seeing 4 or 5 workers who are fixing potholes right in the street in front of me in Manhattan. And here's how it goes. They have hard hats. They're blocking traffic, of course, which they have no choice but to block the traffic. They work for approximately 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, they take a break. The break is, I'm not exaggerating, approximately between 15 and 20 minutes. They drink coffee. One or two had a sandwich. After 20 minutes, they go back to work. Nacham all 5 minutes. I timed it. I'm doing this for 1 hour. It's like 1 hour. Another 5 minutes of work.
It's called union workers.
They were members, clearly members of the union. They worked, sakha call, 1 hour. They worked maybe between 15 and 20 minutes. And the rest was party time. I couldn't believe it. So, as you know me, silly Billy that I am, I went over to the foreman. I said, whom do you work for? So the guy looks at me and says, what's in your business? That was the reaction. I said, well, it looks to me that you're working 5 minutes or 20 minutes. So he had something to say, which is not quotable. decided I better leave the scene. I'd help him for me. He got quite upset with me. So I wanted to tell him, but I did not do so. I wanted to quote him a Rambam.
Not the stairs.
No, a Rambam, the end of the stairs. The Rambam comments on the pasuk, and this I will be Messiah. You remember when Yaakov Avinu worked for Laban?
Yes.
How did he work for Laban? The Torah has a description which is an absolutely one of my favorite words, mind-boggling. Page 76 in Bereshis, Perek Lamed Aleph. Yaakov said to Laban, you know, Laban suited. Yaakov ran from Laban. Yaakov said how he worked tirelessly. And then, Pasuk Mem, I'll just read that Pasuk. Page 76, Pasuk Mem, you see that? In Vayetze? Hayisi bayom, achalani chorem. During the day, Yaakov Avinu was working, and it was what they call here shrab. What does shrab mean? Hot. Sometimes you have hot days. I remember when I came to Eretz Yisrael, many, many years ago, the first time in 71, I came to an airport in Tel Aviv. There was no air conditioning in the airport. It must have been in August, the end of August. It was 115, 120 degrees. Dekel Peros. I almost wilted away entirely before I even got to the yeshiva. Today there's air conditioning in the airport. I was there last night. I had to bring something to the airport. So Yaakov said, Acholani Chorev, be careful, my loyla. At nighttime it was freezing. You show me weather. Batidash nosi meinoi. I didn't sleep. Says the Rambam, Share Yaakov at Tzadik. I don't think the Rambam uses that expression anywhere in Mishnah Torah except here. How do I know? I heard it from the law. Share Yaakov at Tzadik. Ovad bechol koichoi. He worked 24/7. No esek adas. Not like these chaps. 5 minutes, coffee break, sandwich. 5 minutes, 20 minutes, coffee break, sandwich. Mind-boggling. So I wanted to tell them over that Rambam, but they looked at me in a very threatening kind of way. They were even ominous and menacing. I decided to leave the sitting room, they say, to split very quickly. The only other time I had such an event, I was once in Hyde Park in London. And you familiar with that? It's an area where people get up, speaker's corner, they get up and say whatever they want. So I figured, okay, here's my chance. I get up and I decide to speak about the fact that England is a country that essentially should remain a colony of the United States of America. I don't know why they received their independence. I'm saying this publicly to a whole bunch of people around. And then, little by little, I noticed a lot of people moving towards me in a very threatening kind of way. I couldn't understand why. It's like when I went to Canada and I told them also once at the public event that the history of Canada began with the War of 1812 and ended the War of 1812. But OFEC did not like that. Highly insulted by that remark. So I said, but I'm just telling the truth. Anyway, Yaakov HaTzadik. That's how we have to behave. We have to work. When we work with someone, we have to work faithfully and legitimately. We have to be ashristic. That's what the Torah comes to teach us. We have to recover the Torah before Shavuos during this period of time. Try to acquire beautiful midos. Eish of Torah, Ava, Yira, Simcha, and Yitz Hashem, we should be zochet to recover the Torah this coming Shavuos. Amen.